Wake up out of deception.
Wake up to deception. Jesus Christ is pagan. The law ain't done away with. We rest on day seven. Yeah. Wake up to deception. It's doctrines of these pagans. Won't get you into heaven. They use JC as a weapon. Hey. Wake up to deception. Jesus Christ is pagan. The law ain't done away with. We rest on day seven.
Welcome back to Sight to the Blind. I have another guest. This brother is in the truth. Not only doing the work online, but also in the studio from what I have seen online. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, shalom, everybody. This is Yexer Malkiah.
And how did you come upon, I'm assuming that that's, what's the name that you were born, or what was the name that your parents gave you?
It's Yexer. That's actually my name. The Malkiah thing is when I started coming into the truth, I was like, okay, well, I want to attach Yahuwah to my name, you know, because I was so passionate. I was like, you know what? I'm going to just drop the last name, which is a slave name, and I'm going to embrace the true Hebrew truth. So that's where I added that in.
And when did you start to add that in your name?
So, you know, honestly, Ak, like when I first came into this understanding, like I didn't realize how deep, you know, this truth about who we are has been hidden, you know, and, you know, just kind of understanding that, like, I think, okay, so I woke up in 2019 and probably like about a year in from waking up in 2019, I said, you know what, how, because I was making music, right? You mentioned the studio. So I was making music to the Most High Yahuwah. And I just felt like, because my artist name at the time was Be Cheesy. And I was like, this is for where Yahuwah's leading me. I just need something that represents him and attach it to my name. So it's like if people see my name, they're like, okay, this dude believes in Yahuwah, right? So that was just kind of where in my musical journey, I was like, you know what? I got to attach it to my name, make it legitimate, let people know who I serve, whether they hear my music or not. Just knowing my name, they'll see. Mm-hmm. So yeah, about a year into the awakening.
And during this waking up, did you come across any corrections that was needed for you to purge yourself from this world? And what was those type of corrections as far as going through this wall?
So when it comes to corrections, there has been a lot of them. First, I had to. So let me just explain how I came into the truth. How I came into the truth is our beloved brother, Ron, from Truth Unedited. And he's actually how I found you. He mentioned you in one of his videos. He did the video about the blessings and curses of the Israelites. And when I saw it, it opened my eyes in so many ways. And once I understood that, because I had to come into the truth of understanding who I was first before I got to the names, Yahuwah, Yahusha, the true names. And so I had to understand that because I was still saying, okay, well, I know we're the Israelites, but I still was saying God. I was still saying Jesus because I'm like, well, I just know that he's not the white version we got. I know he's a black man, but I was still saying Jesus. And something in my spirit was telling me I haven't fully embraced the truth because I'm still saying the name Jesus. So what ended up happening, and it's a very interesting story, is I saw this Gentile, this white lady, and it was a video that's kind of made its rounds around social media. And she was talking about how the name Jesus was not our Mashiach. That was not our Messiah. That was a name that was given to us to keep us from our father. Then when you connect that to Deuteronomy 28, and it talks about you'll serve the idols of wood and stone. We know about the Kaaba stone in Islam. We know about the Christian cross. And I realized, wait a minute, if I'm still saying Jesus, I'm still holding on to the lie. So when the video came out by Truth Unedited about the true names, I realized I need the correction. I need to drop that name, period. I know I had attached to it. I know it's been something I've known all my life, but if it's not the truth, I got to let it go, right? Those that serve Yahuwah must serve him in spirit and in truth. So that was one of those corrections, one of the main corrections I had to take. And there's been many more on this walk that I've had to, you know, accept the reproof. You know, Yahuwah, when he has mercy on those who accept reproof. And I think we always have to be open to that because the only one who's all knowing is him. And we got to understand it in this walk. We're still learning some things. There's many things he's revealing as well.
And why is it hard for others to not let go of the name Lord God and Jesus? Why is that so difficult for them to drop these titles and false names and go with the names that are now becoming more evident that it's the true names of Yahuwah and Yahusha? Why do you believe that certain followers or people who say they are followers are making it so hard for them to let go of these names and titles?
I'm going to be honest with you, Ak. I think the reason why is because people want to fit in with the world. They want to be accepted by family members. They want to be accepted in certain circles. There was one individual I did a song with called Yahusha HaMashiach. Okay, that was the name of the song. He was a brother in the truth, an Ak in the truth. I was happy to do a song with him. I think he was like my first, you know what I'm saying, collaboration with another artist. And he's jumped around from so many different variations of these names. And, you know, my thing is like, if you're going to stand in the truth, stand in the truth. But I notice he's trying to get in certain Christian circles, certain conservative circles. And, you know, me, I'm not going back to the lie. Right. I have this saying. I'm like, you're going to either accept the truth or you're going to die in the lie. I don't believe in compromise when it comes to Yahuwah. You cannot have one foot in and one foot out, right? A lot of people don't understand, like, I'm so overzealous for Yahuwah. I'm overzealous for the commandments. I'm overzealous for the Torah. I'm overzealous for the names because it is Yahuwah who has woke us up to all of this. And it's like for me to even just to fit in with somebody, to just go back and try to appease somebody or acclimate somebody and turn my back on the truth, I've let my father down. I can't do that. Right. So I just think it's people just wanting to fit in with the circles and, you know, with the name Yahusha, there's a lot of, you know, backlash that comes with that. You know, they want to say we're Hebrew Israelites. They want to say the sacred namers. All these titles really are just titles that Hasatan is putting on us to identify those who are fully walking in the truth.
And did you lose family members and friends during this process of being called back to who you were supposed to be?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Family members, they think I'm in a cult. I know we've heard that so many times. Right. You know, it's like the Christians, they call everything a cult, but their religion. I've lost family. I've lost friends. I'm no longer living the way that I was when I was in the world. So, you know, that certain friends that I loved and that I was close to when we was in the world, we was going to the club, chasing after the females and all that stuff. They was always around. But now that's changed and I'm living for Yahuwah, they don't want to hear about it. They don't call me anymore. And I'm going to be real with you. Before I came into understanding who I was what you would call a awakened Christian, meaning I knew a lot of what the facets of Christianity were pagan. I just, you know what I'm saying? I was still reading Enoch. I was still reading Jubilees, even as an awakened Christian. I just didn't go to church. I didn't celebrate the pagan holidays. You know what I'm saying? But I was still reading the Apocrypha. I was still in the Word. But even back then, I experienced separation. So I almost feel like Yahuwah was preparing me for where I'm going to be now, which is this truth. So it wasn't hard because I already was experiencing separation, being a so-called awakened Christian, quote unquote.
And what vices did you had to get rid of? Give me some vices that you struggled with in getting rid of when you were called back.
Oh, boy. Number one was smoking weed for sure. You know, a lot of people like to twist the scriptures. You know how people do. They love to say, oh, well, you know, the Most High made all things. Yeah, he did, but he made poison oak too. You gonna light that up and smoke it? I had such strong convictions, such strong convictions where it wasn't even becoming enjoyable to me because I kept thinking like, Yahusha's coming. Yahusha's coming back. And even the people that were around me, they're like, Yexer, you are killing my high. Stop talking about the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Constantly talking about Yahusha, Yahuwah. And I just felt so convicted where it wasn't even something I could enjoy anymore. So I was like, you know what? I got to just cut this out. I got to stop that. So that was one thing. You know, the music I was listening to, cause I'm an artist. So I listened to a lot of different artists and stuff like that. I broke away from the degenerate music. And at that point I had to anyway, because there was nothing of substance there. Stop watching certain shows. Don't do horror movies, you know, because there's certain spirits attached. It was a purging, right? It was a major purging, a detox from the world to really walk in this truth and accept Yahuwah and Yahusha. And what I've noticed is the Ruach, it creates a certain spiritual sensitivity to certain people, certain interactions, certain environments. And I realized that being around those things just opens up spiritual doorways. So in order for me to shamar or protect myself, I had to separate from them. Be Kadosh. Right.
And as far as your family members, your mom, dad, like, how are they dealing with it?
So, my father's no longer living, but my mother, she, you know what, Aki, I'm going to tell you, I was listening to your podcast. I'm so happy to hear about the progress that you made with your mother. My mother, she, you know, she's still in the Christian stuff because, you know, the old timers, you know what I'm saying? They kind of don't really like to listen to the younger generation. They think that a lot of this information we bringing out is like internet stuff. It's not like grounded in history and things like that. So my mother, she is somewhat coming around. I mean, she could at least admit that the Messiah was not a blue-eyed blonde-haired Messiah. So she knows he's Negro. So I feel like that's a step in the right direction. Still working with her, but I always tell people, you know, don't give up on your family. It's not too late. I believe Yahuwah is going to do so much more to awaken his children in these times. So we just have to, you know, kind of ease them in. But I always tell people, you're not called to convince, right? This strong delusion was sent by Yahuwah himself. We have to plant the seeds of truth and let Yahuwah do the rest.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. And where are you at right now as far as your walk is? What were you anticipating coming for you? As long as you've been in this walk, is it, do you see yourself, you know, having a family or a marriage if you're not already married yet? Where do you see yourself right now in your walk?
So I do have a woman. Okay. And we are walking in this truth together and we are working. You know, we've been together for a minute and we're moving towards marriage. She's obviously in the truth with me. She is an Israelite. And, you know, I believe, yes, that is going to be our next move. So, you know, she is my fiance at the moment. And yes, we are moving towards this. And it's been beautiful because she's been so humble in this. Now she learned the truth from me. You know what I'm saying? But she already, even with her, she felt something was off about Christianity and it didn't make sense. So when we crossed paths and I showed this to her, she was like, wow, this makes so much more sense. So it's almost like Yahuwah was preparing her for me to come into her life to kind of like lead her in this and lead her in righteousness and help her understand. But to be honest with you, Ox, she already has so many of these vicissitudes of a woman that I would think would be a Proverbs, you know, 31 type woman. So all praises to the Most High for that, for her.
Okay, so she didn't really struggle with the fact that she knew that you were the head of the household regardless. Like she didn't. She didn't come into this with the Jezebel mentality or we're going to be equal in this and this is how we're going to do things together. She already accepted the fact that you are the head of the household and you are the example, you know, by Yahusha and Yahuwah that she's going to trust in you to follow you regardless, right?
Yes. And it's also more so establishing trust. Right. You have to establish trust. See, I see a lot of Israelites saying things like, oh, you know, oh, you got to submit to me, da 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 da, which a woman should. But we as men, it's so important for us to show ourselves to be trustworthy because women, they draw strength from men. Right. They draw strength from us. So if we can show ourselves to be the provider, the protector, the leader, naturally, I think most women will want to submit to you. And I have never given this woman any type of reason to believe that I'm not leading her in righteousness and I'm not, you know, here for her. And if she needs something, I'm not going to be there for her. And it's just kind of like naturally falling into place. So yeah, all praises.
And then of course you get attacked spiritually. I mean, that happens to the best of us. We get spiritually attacked when we're on the right path. Has any unclean spirits ever tried to get in between you and your woman, regardless, maybe bringing up old things in your past or certain things y'all struggled with? Give us a little bit more insight on that, because I think a lot of people don't know that once you come into the union and you both are in the truth, people don't speak enough about these things came back in order to separate us. And this is how we work through them. What was the, you know, type of examples that you had to go through?
Women that I had known prior to me being with her just came out of nowhere all of a sudden. You'll notice that a lot. I've noticed that does happen, is like women that you might have known, because, you know, the thing is, I have a YouTube channel and I do like teachings on there and stuff like that. And, you know, I do have, you know, like a decent amount of women in this assembly when I'm doing my teachings and stuff like that. Some of them have been followers of my music for a while. You know, they were trying to come in and you know, try to like jump in and find out where she's at and contact her and things, and you know, things of that nature. I see a lot of jealousy. I see a lot of bickering, you know, and even trying to like, you know, basically make up lies about me and her that are not true, and that, you know, I'm running away from the ministry and I'm only focusing on her and I'm not still here for Yahweh's people to, you know, feed his sheep spiritually and all these other things. I've seen jealousy. I've seen women trying to flirt with me on the down low, you know what I'm saying? All types of stuff that I've seen, you know, when it comes to spiritual attacks. As far as her, this truth, it causes separation. People who are the outside looking in don't understand it. You know, sometimes it weighs down on her. She gets depressed, but she always knows that I'm here for her. And I think that it's so important when people are coming into this for them to understand that you thought that you were being spiritually attacked in Christianity. Oh, no. The spiritual attack is this truth. It is unrelenting. You know, when you were a Christian, people invited you to church functions. They invited you to church picnics. They invited you to church, right? But as soon as you said, oh, no, I'm going to keep the Torah. I'm going to call on Yahuwah, Yahusha. All of a sudden, oh, no, I can't deal with you. You're in a cult. We don't believe the same thing. Oh, you got to go away from us. So the real spiritual attacks come from this. That is how it's been proven. This is the truth. The falling away in the scriptures that is talked about, I believe that 2 Thessalonians, is not Christianity. You were always told it's Christianity is the falling away. No. The falling away is in this truth, because I know you know, Ak, all the doctrines being thrown around, it's like a new doctrine in this truth itself every 2 weeks, whether it's anti-Messiah doctrine, whether it's, you know, America's the true promised land, you know what I'm saying? And there's no slave ships and, you know, all of this stuff, anti-African rhetoric, whatever you want to call it, there's new doctrine all the time. And I'm seeing the falling away that's taking place in this said truth right now. So we gotta be studying, and we gotta be in the word for ourselves, you know, lean not on our own understanding. We also gotta be careful about eating from every table.
And as far as like the doctrines you mentioned, because we, of course, is, you know, Egypt was in America. And I seen two brothers. One, I don't know if you know their YouTube channel, Thought Camera in Action, where he now called it Brain Tubes. Yeah. Now it's called Logic Looms. And a brother named Brooklyn St. Mikkel, which he went by a Hebrew name. He was a light-skinned brother with glasses. And he was the one really put out the whole John 3:16 truth and what it really truly meant, and he broke down the scriptures. Both of these brothers right now are trying to say that the Israelites or the Hebrews are the Hiskos, and that the Exodus never happened, and now Moshe doesn't exist. What do you think about brothers that are now used to pushing the truth are now falling away into going harder into making the Bible of a myth and not actually fact, even though this is what they believed at first?
Yeah, so I know Thoughts, Camera, Action, Ak. I've seen one thing that drew me to him was his videos, man. His videos were so in-depth. They were so well put together. And then it's just all of a sudden there was like a sudden shift. And it makes me wonder, like, were these people truly in this for the truth, or was it just for their own agenda? Another person I'll tell you before I get to what you said is that brother Yerushalam, or whatever he calls himself. Yeah. He calls himself Drawback Jacob. He done also went all the way to, you know what I'm saying, a whole nother realm. I think that there are agents in this. I'm not going to be the type of person to say, okay, everybody's an agent that, you know, falls away. I just think it's spiritual, a lot of spiritual deceptions in the last days. But the fact that people go so hard for the truth, but then they just backtrack, and then they say, okay, well, the second Exodus never happened, and, you know, Yahuwah's word is a lie, and I'm going to, you know, push this doctrine now. I believe that it's we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I believe it is not a fleshly thing. I believe it is very, very spiritual, and I believe that a lot of people are not truly seeking the Most High. They're believing that they're going to get the pouring of the Ruach through a man. We put too much trust in men and not developing a relationship with the Father. The Father and his Ruach helps us see all things, helps us understand all things, and people are going to men for understanding. And I always tell people, I'm here to help you understand the scriptures. If you need it, you can write me, you can contact me, but you need to have a personal relationship with him. It can't be intrapersonal. It's just like your pastor. You went to the pastor to get to the Most High, and obviously you didn't know him, right? So we have to have a personal relationship with the Father, with His Son. And that's what people are not doing. They're looking to men. And, you know, you got to also have discernment. You should be able to see the fruit, right? That was like when I saw him going around making all these videos about different Israelites and saying everybody's a Mason. And, you know, it was just like, now I get it. There are some Israelites that are Masons. We know Prince Halls and Black Boule. I get all of that. But not everybody is, you know. So somebody hold their hand a certain type of way don't necessarily mean they're a Mason for real.
Right. And it has to also add up, not just the symbolism. They have to preach a doctrine that will go on alignment with Freemasonry. It has to. Like, even if you listen to the IUIC camp and Nate and Nathaniel, which we know is a Prince Hall because he keeps doing this.
Yes, he is. Constantly.
They have to be really, really close to the truth. They can't show any signs of false doctrine, because that's how they'll lose, because they know that's what they'll break on. So they have to somewhat stay close to the truth, but they stay close to the truth enough where you can almost see exactly where they're coming from. They call their church Christ. They don't even use Yahuwah's name. They don't use Yahusha's name. Mm-hmm. And they pretty much package themselves like a military. I did a side-by-side video of them using the same type of mantras that the U.S. Army uses, they use. So that's how you can spot them. But they have to remain so close. But for everybody else that he was attacking, their doctrine has to start saying darkness to light. They have to keep using free Masonic words in order for it to be a Masonic doctrine.
Right. When you understand this, like symbolism, that's a part of it. Because remember, symbolism is a language. Just like when you see these false flags, you see the 33, see the all-seeing eye, you see the numerology, right? I love how you break that down, because all these things are tied to numerology, because the elites, they speak through numbers, right? But with IUIC and a lot of these camps, if I talked about this and people get mad, but it's the truth. The truth is the truth, right? The truth has no discretion. So when it comes to the camps, number one, the first thing that was off to me is that Nathaniel admits that he was an undercover cop. He was with the NYPD. That's one thing a lot of people don't know. So when I hear him say, oh, the white man, the white man, the white man, but you were under the white man for so long and you were a corrupt cop on top of that, that's already something I could throw out. That's public record. Number two, if you understand the origins of these camps were originally started by a group. They were Hebrew Israelites back in I believe it was like Chicago in the early 1900s. And they were all connected to like Masonic organizations. So the origins of every single one of these alphabet, ABC, One West camps goes back to Freemasonry. That's exactly why you see the Pagan Star, Remphan, a Sakari or whatever you call them. Mm-hmm. That's why you see the constant calling on Christ. Now, you know, one thing I need to say about the name Christ, I don't say it because Christ, the name Christ, is pagan in origin, not just the name Jesus. See, people think Jesus is Zeus. Yeah, that's a giveaway. That's a dead giveaway. But Christ actually connects to Krishna. If you look up the word Krishna in Sanskrit, Christ is the same thing as Krishna. So when you're saying Jesus Christ, you are calling on two deities. And Yahuwah said in Exodus, Torah, Exodus 23:13, not to mention the name of these other mighty ones. He shares his esteem with no one else. So that's why I say, I don't believe you can jump back and forth and so on, and you know, all of these things. So, you know, when it comes to the camps, I definitely think they're COINTELPRO. Nathaniel was worth $150 million. You can't tell me that there's no Ashkenazi money behind him. Of course there is. Mm-hmm. They're purposefully leading our people astray. And also, you know, what it does is what Hashatan is attempting to do is taint the awakening. So when people hear about we're Israelites, we're the true people, the first thing that comes to their mind, oh, you guys are those people yelling in the street. So it makes the Gentiles flee from the truth as well and not be receptive to what we're saying. So there's a lot of agendas attached to it.
Yeah, it's been so many videos I've seen that Christians have, you know, made it a point, even Black Christians have made it a point to say that the Israelite Awakening is the Hebrew Roots movement, and they go right to IUIC and a couple of past brothers. I think one guy was named Yahweh Ben something. It was like in the 70s or 80s that he was popular, and all of a sudden he kind of fizzed out. But then they became the IUIC and all these other camps. And they're using particularly this example to try to go against the awakening, go against a blood right. And that's the one thing I can't stand. And people say, well, you know, camps are not that big of a deal. I say, I get it. But brothers was on the street yelling and screaming at white folk. And it made them, all right, now we're going to cleave to our religion even harder, because now they see us as Pharisees and Sadducees.
Yes. And Yahuwah said, there's always a scripture that comes to mind. It's in the book of Romans. I believe that's Romans 10. Yahuwah says that they have a zeal, or Paul said, you know, that they have a zeal for Yahuwah, but they are ignorant of his righteousness, ignorant of his righteousness. And then, you know, like before I watched Truth Unedited's video, right? I lived in LA for the majority of my life. So I've come across the camps plenty of times. And when I first came across them, the fruit just didn't sit right with me. So even though what they were saying, they were using scripture to prove it and all of these things, I just couldn't fully receive it because the way in which they were presenting it. And so I was like, so you don't believe white people, Gentiles can be saved at all? No, the white man's the devil, so on and so forth. And, you know, I get it. I have my issues with Edomites from time to time, but I believe that we are called to be a light to these nations, to bring them into this covenant so that they can be saved, because Yahuwah has chosen those who he has, you know what I'm saying, allowed his son to die for. And it says in, you know, 1 John chapter 2, that, you know, he's not just a propitiation for our sins, the Israelites, but the whole world. You got to take it for what it says, you know, and that is our whole purpose. If you ever want to challenge an Israelite, ask them, what is the purpose in us being chosen? Most of the time they're going to say, oh, we the chosen people because he love us, because we Jacob, da, 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 da. No, the purpose and why we were chosen by Yahuwah was to help his name be spread across the four corners of the earth and all the nations we've been scattered. Yeah, we've been scattered because of the disobedience of our ancestors, but also to still be about our father's business and to help his name and his son's name to be known everywhere where we are scattered. We are still those priests, and that realization has to come with righteousness, and we are called to wake up to come back into this priestly position.
And let me ask you, what calendar are you on right now?
So I already know that this is, you know what I'm saying, some people disagree, but I follow the 364-day calendar mentioned in the book of Enoch and the book of Jubilees. I do not follow the Gregorian calendar at all. It is clearly pagan. My new year starts in spring.
Yeah. And where are you at with Shabbat?
Okay, so when it comes to Shabbat, right, I'm going to tell you, I once did follow the new moon thing. I once did, until I learned Hebrew, or what we call a Bari. That's actually the proper term, or the Bari language. Right. So I once followed it, because I used to follow like Become Set Apart and stuff like that. That's kind of where I first started hearing about it. And I was watching him and I was like, okay, this makes sense. I understand the Gregorian calendar is pagan, and you know, we want to return to the ancient path. And so I watched him. And then when I started breaking down these words in the Hebrew, and I looked at the word new moon in the concordance or the interlinear, I saw the word Kadash. Now the Abari word for moon is Yarak. And so I'm like, wait a minute, why does it say, you know, Kadash? Kadash means renewed or month. So like, for example, if you say the new covenant or the renewed covenant, you would say the Barith Kadasha. So I was like, well, so then why does it say renewed or new month instead of the moon? So I realized that the new moon thing was added in, because if you go and you look at the Jewish people and you look at the Islam and all these things, they follow like this lunar, you know what I'm saying, calendar. Then I look deeper into new moon. I'm like, wait a minute, they do rituals on this thing. They do all of these things. And I'm like, okay, this is off to me. Then I went and I looked at Qumran. Now, Qumran is where you get the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's where we get the scriptures we have today. And if you look at the Qumran calendar, which is where we get the scriptures today, it proves that it has always been what you call so-called Saturday. Okay, that's just the research I have done, because I had to dig really deep into this. And so I do the Saturday Shabbat, but I do realize that, when we go into the wilderness, Yahuwah will make all things clear. Now, if a person does new moon, you know what I'm saying? I ain't knocking them or nothing like that. It's just what I've learned and breaking down the Hebrew and looking at the ancient scrolls and stuff like that. It doesn't really support the idea of a new moon.
And this is where I'm at, because I know a lot of people are on Saturdays and they're on the 364 because their new year, regardless, starts in spring, and that the Shabbats never move regardless. And mm-hmm. The only thing with that is that if you go to the three feast days, which is Passover, Feast of Weeks, and Sukkot, they all start on the 14th and 15th. They all start on the 14th day.
Yes.
And the 14th day, that's when the moon is full. So in other scriptures, when it's not talking about the new moon, in other scriptures, specifically David, he talks about the moon is full, like blow the shofar on the dark new moon, or whatever the beginning of the month, and then it's blow also the trumpet when the moon is full at our feast days. And I looked through the feast days, even Feast of Weeks, if you count from the 14th on in to the 50 weeks or 49 weeks, that still lands on a full moon. So by doing so, I came to the conclusion that the Shabbat started on the 14th, 21st, 28th, and just as it did on the seventh day. So that's why my Shabbats move around, because the new moon orders my calendar, orders my month. And it's hard to do that, because this is where it also leads me. It leads me to the moon being 354 days. When you using the sun and moon, yes, it's going to be short 10 days. But brothers will bring out the jubilees, like, oh,
right.
You know, that we would take an observance that it would come in 10 days too soon. But he never said that we would correct it. He never said, like, they will find their way. They will find the path of the years. He didn't say that. He said we would lose them. They would be dislodged because we won't make it 364. It would be impossible to make it 364 because we would go astray to the new moons and Shabbats and all of that. So I get why everybody's on Saturday. I get it. I really do. Some people do it because they don't work on Saturdays. This is so easy for them to not work, because you can do the Shabbats. It's difficult if it's on if you use the sun and the moon, because obviously you're jumping around. And because we're stuck, our work days and our work life is stuck on the Gregorian. We would end up we sinning and transgressing. So I get where it comes from, like you said. But Yah's going to bring this out when this is all destroyed and all said and done. Yes. I think we're really going to find a way in the middle to come back to doing it the proper way, because Numbers talked about, you know, blowing trumpets during the new moon and having offerings and sacrifices on the first day of the month, regardless throughout the whole year. He's talking about this. So it's just a start. Like I used to, you know, take a sword and want to chop everybody's head off for not doing it certain ways. Right. And I'm finding out I was doing it the wrong way when I was using Become Set Apart's calendar too. And then I used Nick Vanderland's calendar. And over time you change. Over time you find scriptures that start to make sense.
Right.
And people end up, you know, finding the truth here and there. It just, you gotta let things happen. So that's how I am kind of with it. I'm just only sharing my journey with people, say, this is what I'm doing. I'm not here to debate. You can do it if you want. If you don't want to, that's on you. But like you said before in the early parts of the show, that it's really about a relationship between you and Yah. Like, it shouldn't be about me and you and this is how we get it together. It should be the relationship with you and Yah, and he will bring you to the truth.
And that's the thing, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yahuwah, he loves those who keep his commandments. So even if we don't have everything all figured out and all of that, are you making a diligent effort to please Yahuwah and to be Kadosh and to live the way Mashiach taught us, which is to keep the feast days, keep the Shabbats, and walk in uprightness, right? Because the Torah itself, Christianity will put enough emphasis on this, and that's why, you know, that I'm glad you allowed me to come on here so I could say this for all the listeners that might be new to this. The Torah is the standard of righteousness Yahuwah gave. Now, people like to say, oh, well, you know, they couldn't keep the Torah, but that's why Yahusha showed us you could. He gave us the Torah. And when you come into this covenant, right, a covenant is, another word for like an agreement, right? Yeah. If you want to become an heir to the inheritance, you have to adhere to said covenant. And that is belief in Mashiach, the blood that he shed, but also following his teachings. Yahushua HaMashiach did not teach pagan lawless Christianity. He taught the Torah, the law of Moses. He didn't teach a different Torah, and he dang sure didn't tell you that the Torah is done away. He taught the commandments that Yahshua failed to keep. If we're not supposed to keep the commandments in the Torah, then why were we put into captivity all these years? Because we broke those said commandments. So there's just no way to really throw it out. And it's sad, Ak, because a lot of the Christians, you know, you bring up the Torah, the first thing they do is they throw away what Mashiach said in Matthew, you know, 5:17-18. I didn't come to do away with the law. And then they just say, well, what about Paul? But Paul does not transgress Yahusha. And Paul was keeping Shabbat. Paul was going to the synagogues to deal with the Yahudim that it became Hellenized in the lands. And he also preached the Beshuda or the gospel to the Gentiles, but he was keeping Shabbat. He circumcised Timothy. He did an animal sacrifice outside the temple. He was not lawless. So it's like when they run to him, I just be like, do y'all know who Paul is? Like,
right. And then the one they always come back when you start preaching about your bloodline, when we start waking about Yehuda and Levi and Reuben and Simeon, when we start talking bloodlines, they come back with, it says no Jew nor Greek.
They love to use that line. And I'm like, okay, well, if we're going to go with that, does that mean there's neither male nor female as well? Because clearly there is. If there is no neither male nor female, then why? How could I be a husband? How could she be my wife? How could I lead, provide, protect, and she submit? You can't really use that idea. What that really means is when it says there's neither Yahudi or Yabani or Greek, right? What it means is that we all need the blood of Yahushua HaMashiach. We all need to walk this path of righteousness. We all need to take a hold of this renewed covenant, or what some call the new covenant. We all have to do that. We all have the same way to salvation, which is Yahushua HaMashiach. That's what that means. But as far as Yahuwah's people and the Gentiles, yeah, of course, anybody can accept the truth and be grafted in. We had to be regrafted in. But the truth of the matter is his covenant people are his covenant people. And speaking, since we're talking about this, it's like even when I watch Truth Unedited and I look at the comments, like the documentary, I'm sure you watched the documentary he's been doing, you know, mm-hmm. We Are Not Black People. Mm-hmm. I see, you know, just some of the comments that the Gentiles make, and, you know, they talk about us like we don't believe in HaMashiach, like we don't believe in his blood. We don't believe that. They make it seem like we think because we're the chosen people, we still don't have to repent. We still don't have to walk in righteousness. Being Negro does not give you access to the kingdom. It's how you move, it's how you walk, and it's the righteousness that you are exuding. And the thing is, being chosen, it's a beautiful thing. It came with, you know, hardship, with the curses and stuff, but you got to understand it's a huge responsibility. The Gentiles understand it's a huge responsibility, and Yahuwah will judge us worse than he will the Gentiles that do wickedness, simply because we should have learned from our ancestors.
Exactly.
We should have got everything on lock. You know what I'm saying?
And then they hit you also with, well, don't worry about genealogies because it doesn't matter about I was like, he's talking about Gentiles, because when you come into this wall, everybody who are of the Gentiles or outside the nations of us, they wanted to know so bad where they are in the biblical times. Like, what nation are they? They didn't know if they was Japheth or Esau or Tarshish. They wanted to know. He was talking to them about that. It doesn't matter for them because they are not the... they are not the foundation. They are not the root.
Right.
They're just branches if they're trying to get grafted in. And they're just the branches. So why would you need to know who your biblical nation is if you're not the root? I think that's what he meant. But, you know, they twist it and take it. Well, as soon as we start talking about, oh, this is where we come from, it was like, no. We ain't supposed to be worrying about genealogies.
Right. They love to go to Colossians. You know, don't argue about, you know, genealogies and things like that. We're not arguing anything.
Right.
But the Bible, the fact that it's in the scriptures, it does have a sense of importance. It does. I mean, all the word of Yahuwah is true, and let the word of Yahuwah be true and every man a liar. But it's important to be able to connect these dots because of this system of white supremacy and pushing this idea of, you know, white. Had the Gentiles not lied and told these things, then we wouldn't have to. But this is the time. See, when knowledge increases, you must increase with that knowledge. And the Father, he didn't allow these things to be known in such a grand way because it just wasn't the time. But now that this is the time of the truth, now eyes must be open. The question is, are you going to love the truth? Are you going to embrace the truth? because the truth is what makes you free. And the Bible says that they perish because they love not the truth. So it's not just accepting the Messiah, accepting Yahuwah, it's accepting his people and accepting everything about what is being revealed in these times. That is really going to separate the wheat from the tares when it comes to the Gentiles, as well as some of our people who are still in the pagan Christianity and the pagan Islam and all these religions. Right. You know, both sides, we all need to just accept this truth. Like I said, there's still more Yahuwah will reveal in his time, but for what is being revealed right now, we should be happy because we're still here in captivity physically, but our minds are being set free from captivity. And first is the mental captivity, then comes the physical captivity. So this is really a time of rejoicing. Yahuwah is revealing so much. Things are happening so fast. And I really believe we're going to be out of here very soon. And that second Exodus, I'm waiting. All praises.
Right. And how are you preparing yourself? Are you watching what's going on in the political arena, the sports arena, and Hollywood arena? Are you able to kind of feel where we're at in scripture?
Yes. So I do pay attention to everything. You got to stay aware. You don't want to be ignorant of Satan's devices. So when I look at everything taking place right now, I look at the whole Israel and, you know, Palestine thing. I look at the political paradigm that's taking place right now and, you know, the heavy pandering on both sides. Now, you know, I don't subscribe to politics at all. I haven't voted since 2012. I voted for Obama. You know what I'm saying? Back then, I didn't realize who I was. And I just was like, bro, like, both sides are the same, you know, two wings of the same bird. I think a lot of our people are being sucked into this political thing, and they need to realize that, number one, this is why it's so important to know who you are, because Yahuwah said that no heathen can rule over us. Only our own flesh and blood of this nation of Yasharal can rule over us. So that's number one. Number two, all of these people, Donald Trump, Kamala, Joe Biden, George Bush, Skull and Bone, they're all connected to Freemasonic Society. Freemasons run the world. Mm-hmm. So you really can't trust anybody that is, you know, in these positions of power. They have been propped up. They've made a covenant with Hashatan, and they are in that position to deceive the masses. Now, when it comes to the right, I am seeing a shift that's taking place. And what I mean by that is that they're creating a new sense of conservatism. If you looked at the Republican National, I didn't watch the whole thing because I just don't care. But I happen to see a video with that tap dancer, Tim Scott. And when you look at the background, when he's talking on the stage, you see the Novus Ordo Seclorum, which means New World Order of the Ages. That's written on the back of your dollar bill. For those out there listening, don't know what I'm talking about. That literally showed me that they're going to use the right wing to bring in a lot of these technologies. That's why you got Trump, you know, collaborating with Elon Musk. You've got the brain chip technology, the Neuralink and all of that. I believe Trump is going to bring in the Sunday worship. I believe he's going to bring in possibly the mark of the beast. I'm not saying he's the beast, but I just see a lot of things. And I see the Christians that are so brainwashed by this man, so brainwashed by him. It's almost just like, it's almost hard to believe. And now Negroes are starting to fall for it.
Right.
It's crazy.
That's the craziest part. It's like now they felt shame and embarrassment for voting Democrat all their lives. And now I'm like, all right, and I'm going to vote for Trump. Like, bro, like, why can't y'all just find y'all? But I say,
yes,
when it comes to the American Negro, they got to hit every branch on the way down to find y'all. They got to go through so much where other people could be like, all right, I see this is BS. I'm just going to tap out of it and not care about anything. But when it comes to our people who don't know who they are, they'll go from the right to the left. They go from one religion to the other religion. I mean, it's
facts.
I understand why Jeremiah was like, are we just naturally born slaves? Because we don't get it. We will never get it as a people.
Right. Yeah. And that's what it is. Okay. So 4 years ago, you were told, you believed the Negroes, our people, they believed that Trump was racist and they're a bunch of white supremacists and they hate us and so on and so forth. And they never hid that, right? They are very overt about how they feel about us in general. And so the man gets shot at, so-called, because I believe that was also a psyop. I don't believe any of it was real. People get mad. I don't care. It's fake. So that happens. Then they use every single tactic that appeal to Black stereotypes to reel you into the right. Okay, so Trump is now a felon. Okay, Black people will like that. Okay, how about we sell them some sneakers too? And, you know, to top it off, let's just have them meet a bunch of Black people at a chicken spot. You know, and then we'll also say, okay, look at that mugshot. He got shot at. Yeah, Trump is a real G. And let's play some music of 50 Cent, many, many, many men in the back, so they really fall for it. They are really playing in our faces. And the fact that people are just looking past that and don't realize that. And then, you know, when you also factor in Project 2025, I don't know if you've ever looked at that. Have you looked at Project 2025?
I already knew it was BS. I'm more worried about Agenda 2030 than I am about Proxy 25, but I kind of skimmed over to see what it was about.
So I believe that, now you did a post on your Instagram about Christian nationalism, right? Mm-hmm. Christian nationalism is essentially, you could think of Project 2020, like now when you talk about Agenda 2030, the thing that's interesting about that is I believe that Agenda 2030 connects to Project 2025. I believe they're all part of this globalist ideal, because when you factor in the Noahide laws and everything, Trump is going to help bring that in, because remember, you know, he's a huge Zionist butt kisser. So Project 2025 is essentially reestablishing. It'll be like a Fourth Reich. Okay, so if you think about like the Nazis, you think about Hitler, you think about the rest of them, they were, you know, Christians, right? But they're also very militarial. So when you combine Christian nationalism and then you combine that with patriotism, that's where you get the building blocks for something such as Project 2025. And, you know, it's almost 1,000 pages document, but it's essentially, I'll say it like this to summarize it. Every agenda that is coming, even though they plan everything that they do, will be blamed on the Negro. It doesn't matter if Kamala wins. It doesn't matter if Trump wins. They're bringing illegals here because they are really UN troops. And because we got another plandemic right around the corner, and I'm sure you heard about the monkeypox, mm-hmm. I believe that a lot of these illegals here are military-aged men to help enforce this. Now, you notice that they're blaming Africa just like they did last time. Now they're blaming the illegals in the UK that, you know, are what they call the illegals, some of the African immigrants that have come there. They're blaming them for what's going on out there. They're telling Black people, get out of the UK. Everything is going to be centered towards Jacob, which is why I say it's so important for us to, one, accept Yahuwah, accept Yahusha, and stop being at each other's necks over the most goofiest stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we were called by Yahuwah to move as a tribe, Yehuda, and as a nation. Not this separation, not this, you know what I'm saying, bickering over just, you know, trivial matters, Yahuwah will make clear. Now, obviously, I'm not rolling with no camp members because, I mean, y'all ain't really, you know what I'm saying, walking in righteousness. But for those of us who have these little, you know, civil disputes or whatever over doctrinal differences, I still think we should be able to put those things aside and say, just because I don't agree with you in this one thing doesn't make you my enemy. Hashatan all right, is all about separation of this nation for us.
Right. All right. I'm going to give you the last word. What's the words of wisdom can you bestow upon my followers this morning?
The words of wisdom. Oh, boy. Okay. Trust Yahuwah in all ways. Lean not on your own understanding. Believe in HaMashiach always, because he is the only way to the Father. Fall not for the doctrines of men, the deceptions of the world. Trust and believe in the Most High always and forever. He is here for us. He has not forsaken us. And one day we will be back in glory. All praises to the Most High. That's it.
All praises, all praises. Thanks for coming on my show, Doc. This was really enlightening, and glad to be able to connect with you because I've been following your work for so long. And I was like, all right, let me see how this gonna pan out. And this panned out exactly how I thought it would pan out in all righteousness.
All praises, man. Thank you so much for having me, and bless this to everybody that's been listening. It's just blessing always, brother. Thank you so much.
No problem.